Steve Burness of the Better Business Bureau joins us. How you doing, Steve, this Monday? What's going on?
I'm doing well, Anna. How are you?
I'm okay. You know, I feel like we talk to you so much, and there's a reason for that. It's actually a bad reason, because there's a lot out there that you guys are tracking at the Better Business Bureau.
Especially with the pandemic, and as you know, the scams are really increasing, and one we're seeing that's quite alarming, that's been around for a while, but it seems to be increasing, especially during the holiday, it's online puppy scams. And people don't even realize that you can buy a puppy online, but there's the scammer out there who's trying to take advantage of the situation. Our complaints are 5 times from 2017 numbers, and we anticipate this year will be around 4,000 complaints will be filed on the scam tracker regarding puppy scams with a loss of about $3 million. And, of course, Anna, with the Christmas coming, everybody buys not everybody, but a lot of people buy puppies online. So we just want to shut the warning out today to just really be cautious about it.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I know a number of people who are adopting even right now, and they're talking about getting a puppy. I just wonder, where are most of these people being targeted that are falling for the fake puppy scam? And then tell us just a little more about how it works.
Yeah, basically, most of the people are going online, and they're just putting the keyword, you know, finding a puppy or whatever you put in there. And unfortunately, these scammers pay for those advertisements that have come up first. So a lot of consumers are going online, but they're seeing, you know, falling victim to what they think is a legitimate breeder, and it's actually somebody trying to, you know, separate from the money. It's really hard to determine the difference unless you really sometimes, we suggest is visit the breeder or visit the dog itself and talk to the person directly. So many times you're dealing with breeders, you know, on the internet, and they may not even be a breeder. There's also video conferencing, you know, suggesting you may as well do. But Anna, really the key or the tip-off to the rip-off, as I always say, is unconventional payment methods. And what I mean by that is they'll ask you to buy, you know, Google cards or gift cards, or even worst-case scenario, wire the money because they, for some reason they can't accept credit cards, and that's the warning sign that something's gone awry, and you should be very careful because they'll start taking money from you, and they'll keep taking it until you give no more money to them. And unfortunately, we're seeing that too many people falling victim to it this time of the year.
Am I right? I thought I saw nearly 4,000 people in the state of Illinois have fallen for the fake puppy scam.
4,000 in climbing. So around the holidays, it'll always increase as well. Again, these are numbers are 5 times what they were in 2017 when we issued the Better Business Bureau issued our first warning on this particular scam.
Mm-hmm. So you can do like a reverse Google search of the image, and you'll find that it shows up all over the place, and you can sort of tell it's a scam then. But not everybody knows how to do that, so you have to get like the 15-year-old in your life to get sit in front of the computer and say, here, just Google this pic, reverse Google this, and then they can do it. But that often is another way to sort of check it out. But you're saying, I think legitimate breeders sometimes, I don't know if I'm wrong with this, I could have sworn this is true, they do ask for money up front so that you can guarantee one of the dogs in the litter. Isn't that's common, right? Or not?
Yeah, so there are some upfront fees that the breeders do charge, and it's each one is differently, but never pay for the full amount. That's for key. That's for certain. And the breeders will take credit cards most likely. And if you have any other unconventional payment methods, that's the key. But and I think they're really what they consumers need to do is to check out the breeder. A lot of times consumers will see no information on the internet and think it's a good company or a great breeder, whatever it may be. You want to find a track record on them and make sure you do your due diligence, not only with the Better Business Bureau, but there's other sources of information out there online. But you have to find information. You just can't go on no information because there's too many scammers out there now. And as you mentioned, the reverse Google search, you know, of the picture is really important. I think consumers, you said, don't realize you can reverse click a picture and see where else it appears online. You'll see how many other sites it's on.
Mm-hmm. If you have a question for Steve, 312-981-7200, question about a scam, if you want to know if it is a scam or something, you want to know how prevalent it is or let others know, that's the number to call, 312-981-7200. He can answer it for you. One of the things you have pointed out before, Steve, is that the role that social media sometimes plays, because sometimes you think, oh, this is coming from a friend of mine, or it's on Facebook or whatever, and then you can still link through to scams that way. Isn't that right?
Yeah, a lot of times people think they're safe because they're on Facebook or Google or other sites and realizing that they actually have fallen victim to scams. And I think that was our number, you know, one in two platforms was Facebook and Google for and scams reported to the Better Business Bureau recently. Basically what they do is somebody sends you a link and gets you off that site or sends you to a different site and you don't know where that URL is going and what they're doing with that information once you get there. So just because you're on those safe platform doesn't mean that the scammer's not lurking there in the background, because, you know, Facebook and Google are only so good, they can't catch everybody, and you have to, you know, do your due diligence and understand what you're getting yourself into and doing the research on those organizations first.
We're talking with Steve Burness at the Better Business Bureau about scams. I've got some more questions for him, but let's go to the phones here and talk to Brian. Hey, Brian, happy Monday. You got a question for Steve Burness.
Hi, good afternoon. I got a letter from a collection agency saying that we had a debt to the cable company, and we're really good about paying all that stuff, and I was wondering if there might be a scam involved. Hmm.
Yes, Brian, it could be a scam. What we as consumers do is ask for a demand for to see the collection of the notice. So basically asking them to provide documentation to you that you do owe, and they have to do it by law, send it to you. So don't pay it, because you don't think it's true, and you may be right, and but unless you get further information from them, please do not pay it.
Well, they said that it will go on my credit record on the 23rd of January if it's not taken care of.
Did you ask them to send a copy of the proof that you are...
That's why I'm calling you. I had no idea what to do.
Yeah, ask them for proof that the payment that you are, it is your debt, and that you will pay gladly if it's yours, but you need to see it first, and they will send it to you, and they have to, by law, send it to you.
Hey, Brian, I got a question for you. Is there actual information on there? Is it the correct cable? Is there any identifying information there, like account number, or is it just
It has an account number, but my wife handles all of that. I can't find a bill to cross-reference it, because she puts everything away.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't find anything.
And it's a third-party collection agency, right? It's just not the actual... They're not pretending
it's to be... Somebody, they said Comcast employed them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's interesting, Steve, because the reason I was asking Brian those questions is because what we're finding now, when you come on, you explain to us, is that sometimes they do have one or two pieces of information that do correspond with what's going on. Like, I've gotten ones from Chase Bank. I bank at Chase Bank, and it'll say, hey, it'll have the absolute letterhead. I mean, with the marketing materials all look right. You know, they haven't messed with the logo in any way. And they'll say, click here. There's been fraud on your account. And I don't click there. I call, and then they'll say, nope. Those are going out to a lot of people right now. Do not click on it. But it is amazing to see they get one or two things right.
They do sometimes get it right, and sometimes they just throw everything at the wall and sees what stick, and that's another way they get people to fall for these things. But what Brian should do is really just send them a letter, you know, asking them for, you know, proof that you do owe the debt and verification. They will have to send it to you before you make the payment, because you want to verify, like Anna said, is that they could be sending us, you know, a scammer could be sending out to everybody similar letters like this, and you want to make sure that you owe this debt first before paying.
So they have to do that.
Thank you very much.
Good luck, Brian.
Thank you.
I hope it
you
know, get it figured out. But he's wise to ask. It's
crazy. They do have to do that, yes.
Yeah, well, I had no idea what to do, and you've given me one, so thank you.
Great.
Sure. I hope it helps, Brian. You know, that's the thing. I mentioned contact tracing scams. That has been out there for, I don't know, a month or two. Are you still hearing about that? Because I know we're told answer the phone for them, answer, you know, the call. Don't treat those as scam, even though so many of us don't answer the phone if we don't know the number. They're telling us, health department officials are saying, hey, be on the lookout for these kinds of things.
Exactly. We're still getting calls as scammers, and a lot of times they're being imposters and they're not actually contact tracers. So you want to verify that call, where it's coming from. Even though the caller ID may say the public health department, you still want to, you know, call them directly to make certain it was them before answering any question. But the key, Anna, is they're not going to ask you for, you know, money. They're clearly not going to ask you to, you know, provide any bank account information or credit card information or your Social Security number. They don't need anything like that. And, of course, your immigration status they do not need. And as you warned before and we have warned, do not click on a link or text or an email, because that could be coming from a third-party source that actually has spam and malware on it. It can lock your computer up, and they can hold it hostage on you and things of that nature. So they'll ask legitimate questions, but never anything personally about, you know, your Social Security number or anything, your bank account numbers like that. And that's usually how you can tell if it's scam or not.
Just following up on what Brian asked, though, if somebody calls you and says you owe this money and you don't really recognize, don't know exactly what they're talking about, you as a consumer deserve to get some sort of something in the mail to prove that the debt is owed.
Yeah, basically, you want proof that they you do owe the debt, and they have to provide you written, you know, verification of the debt before you're paying for it, because it could, you're just saying it's not, you don't believe it's yours, you're telling them it's not you, but send me the verification first before you make payment, and they have to do that by law.
Makes a lot of sense. It's like, yeah, who are you? Tell me where this is coming from. Let's go to the phones, and John, you may have a question for Steve. How you doing, John?
I'm having a problem with a company that I contracted with to insure repair on your car. You know what I'm saying? In other words, you pay them a certain amount every month, and then if there's you need repair on your car, they cover it, right?
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Okay, so, you know, I had them a few months, and then I saw that I needed some work to be done, and I brought it into a dealership, and they said, they called me back and said, well, this company says that they don't fix that. They don't, that's not in their contract. And basically it's a fan button, you know, in the car, the you know, the speed of the fan. And they go, well, it's very involved and we don't fix that. I said, okay, let's just cancel the whole thing, you know. Mm-hmm. But I'm seeing that I'm still getting charged. It looks like I'm still getting charged in my checking account. And it looks like they've gone all the way back to June, which I don't think I even talked to them in June, even contracted them in June. I'm looking for my contract now. I'm not sure if I saved it because I canceled with them. What recourse do I have with something like that?
Great question.
It's a great question, John. But did they give you? Did they say that they would cancel you? I mean, what is their cancellation policy?
Yeah, as far as I know, yes. I was really trying because at first they went, well, let me see what we can do. I said, look, no. I just want to cancel it. I was as emphatic as I could be to tell them, cancel. I want to cancel it. And I was willing to let them keep the first couple of months that I had them because, you know, I contracted it. And, you know, but once I realized that, I don't know how many times is this going to happen where I'm paying them money every month. And then when the time comes for me to have something fixed, well, we don't fix that. We don't fix that. I'm like, well, if you don't fix a fan button for your heater and, you know, air conditioning heater, that's a fairly common thing,
then
that's not worth taking a gamble with.
Yeah. I don't blame you for canceling it. You just hope that now if they keep coming after you for money, you don't owe it. I mean, Steve, how could he possibly?
What do I do?
Every company has a cancellation policy. You got to see online and see what their cancellation policy is. But I would contact your credit card company and dispute the charges and let them know that you told them you wanted to cancel months ago, and they will investigate the claim for you and help you.
But I did it through my checking accounts. Did they go? You know what I'm saying? Which might have been a mistake. But
always pay with your credit card. Yes, but you can contact your bank as well and ask them to investigate for you.
I did, and I said I want you to shut this off. I mean, I don't want to accept no more charges for this. Mm-hmm. But the problem is they've gone, you know, they've charged me like for the past 6 or 7 months. So can I go back and get that money or no? How would I do that?
You can ask them for that. If you can, you need to file a complaint with the Better Business Bureau, but also can check on them, see what others have said with the Better Business Bureau. So you may want to look at that company now online and see what their record is. But also go to the company's website and look at their cancellation policy so you have this knowledge before you call them, because the cancellation policy may be different from what they told you on the phone. It's a lot of times it's different, so you got to be careful.
I would also think you can tell your bank, I canceled it on this date. I should not owe anything past that date. And that seems extremely fair, and that your bank should fight for on your behalf for something like that, because it seems like fraud if you've said, hey, I no longer want this service, and as long as you're abiding by the cancellation policy.
Okay, well, I did speak to my banker, and he said that he would do something like that. But, you know, I need to arm him, so to speak.
Yeah.
I have to look at my contract or something. I have to try to find it because, again, I thought this was over with.
Good luck with it, John. I hope it's over with soon. I really do, because that stuff,
thanks,
I've been through it myself, and it's not fun. Let's try to get Kate on the air here, see what's on your mind. Hey, Kate, what's going on?
Hey, I keep getting texts, not from UPS, but it says UPS alert, package ready for delivery. Go to such and such a link to review. Now, I've never had that experience with UPS, you know, all these years. Is there something going on with that? But different texts every once in a while about this UPS package that's coming, and there are no UPS packages being expected.
Oh, well, that's different. So, okay, because I get UPS alerts, and I get FedEx alerts via text. Steve, anything smell wrong here?
Yeah, it's a phishing email. Basically, they want you to click on that link, and especially during the holidays, they want to, they send more of these out, Kate, and they try to get people to bite on this. This is not coming from UPS and FedEx. Both of those entities send out warnings all the time. If you feel that you are due a package that's not coming, or you could always contact the delivery company yourself directly on the number you know. Never click a link or on an email because that's a scam.
Yeah, I feel strongly that it is because there's no reference to my address or my name or my account number if I have, there's no link between this text and me.
Seems generic, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thanks, Kate, but that's a great reminder.
Thank you. Thanks. Bye.
I'm glad you caught it. That's a great reminder. Do not click on links you don't recognize. You say it all the time.
Exactly.
Steve, I just want to circle back. I have less than a minute here, but you have been very helpful because the unemployment insurance fraud is so widespread in the state of Illinois. It's widespread in the U.S., 200,000 plus people here. I just want to go through the steps that we have come to together. So if people are affected, somebody in your life is affected, you know to go through these steps. Number one, I'm told contact your police department. People don't realize you got to do that. You've told us freeze your credit. Go to all three credit bureaus, TransUnion, Experian, Equifax, freeze your credit. You have to let IDS know, you have to let the unemployment system know that you're a victim of fraud so that there's something on file there. They say call your local senator or representative. They're keeping file on these kinds of things too. And when they get a number of them, they just start fighting for you and on your behalf. Then file with the IRS, we're told too. You might want to do that too so that they are aware you've been a victim. They at least have some sort of advance warning that you've been a victim of this kind of fraud. It's important stuff to know. And hey, Steve, the phone's light up whenever you're on. So I hope you can make time for us again pretty soon because
I would love to come back.
So much demand. Thank you for your time today, okay?
My pleasure.
Steve
Burness.